So when we deal with people who are prophetic, again, they're not writing scripture anymore, but there are people who have special insight given to them by God to see and hear in the spirit realm. And yes, they do deal with spiritual demonic issues, even sometimes when they're a child and they don't even know nothing about that those gifts are in them, that they will be in tune to things in the spirit world. They'll be sensitive to what God is saying, and what God is meaning, being able to translate the scripture to apply to a specific person, place, or thing in our time. So an example of that would be people who have insight into what God is doing in the midst of our world, like stuff that's coming in the future or stuff that's happening and what God is actually doing in the midst of that and saying to his people or to the world. And most people think that prophets are just prophesying, but that's like the smallest function of that ministry gift, because it's a ministry gift. It's a preacher of the gospel. It's someone who carries the gospel message and preaches the gospel. So there's people who are pastors who are very prophetic, as well in churches. There are leaders. These are ministers, different type of ministers. And there's evangelists. And like I said, I'm not going to spend too much time. I could spend a lot of time on each ministry gift, but there are people who are evangelists today, who go out and just love preaching the gospel to non-Christians. They got to share the gospel with those who don't know God. They can't sit in a local church and just know that people are dying out there and ending up in eternity without God and be satisfied. They can't come and be a Sunday morning Christian and just be happy. But they are so passionate about reaching other people who don't know God and sharing their faith and bold about it, because God has given them that grace to do that. And they may travel locally or they may travel around the world, sharing the gospel. But the thing is that with these different gifts, you know, they're not evangelists. Generally, somebody who has a primarily evangelistic ministry is not going to be planting a church, because they don't have the patience to make disciples like that, you know, but they are very effective at helping the local churches to evangelize others who then can go and make disciples, because they're not going to stay stationary. In most cases, an evangelist very long. They're translocal as well. In ministry, like those who are sent out like missionaries, except missionaries, they actually will develop a church and they will develop leaders from that church before they move on. But they're not gonna, they may not take that church over, you know, they become stationary. In general, from a scriptural standpoint, they're no longer doing missionary work, but they're doing pastoral work, which is very important as well. You know, and then you see people who are pastors who deal with the local congregation on a continued basis. And just as a note, these gifts can have gift mixes, meaning that they can have one or two or more gifts in their mixing. And, you know, and God could give a primary gift, but these other two gifts, ministry gifts, are going to be supportive. So like Paul, he identified himself as an apostle, a prophet, and a teacher. But his primary function, he was obviously prophetic, strongly prophetic, through visions and revelations and spiritual insight and perspective. But he was also a teacher, you know, which he was able to teach and cultivate and train other leaders, but also make disciples and then make them disciples into leaders, you know, because that's what missionaries usually do. They don't spend time just shepherding, they create and shepherd leaders. So that's their emphasis. But his primary function was an apostle. So he had to move on and continue the work and establish new churches in different places and strengthen existing churches that either he founded or in other cases that, you know, he didn't found. But God opened the door for him to be able to strengthen them and empower them. And so then we see those who are pastors, that they deal with the local congregation, shepherding them and nurturing them and caring for them and dealing with all their issues on a consistent basis, you know, like consistently just staying there as stationary, caring for the flock. And if they have a gift mix of an evangelist, then they're going to be a very evangelistic pastor. Or, you know, if they have a missional thing, they're going to be, if they can't go out and start churches, they're going to be raising up leaders from within their congregation and sending them out to start churches. And they're going to strengthen and empower those churches. And, because you'll see these gift mix amongst different pastors. There is no one size fit all amongst ministers and in the God of the gospel. So we see the teacher also is one who trains up others in the word and get them scripturally grounded and just like takes it all right to the scripture and really help others to see how the word of God applies to their specific situations in life and to teach them how to be strong in their faith and to apply those scriptures to their lives so well that these people learn how to teach other people how to do the same thing. So these are different ministers that are in the church, the body of Christ. Some are more local than others, but they're all about the body of Christ. And so these are all servants. They all have a capacity and a desire and a design when they're functioning under the guidelines and leadership of the Holy Spirit. They are there to help others. They're there to serve others, benefit others. We see that the Bible shows that in the local church, just like in Antioch, back in Acts 13, we see in Acts 14 and 23 that Paul and Barnabas, as part of their missionary journey or apostolic work, others may call that they had ordained elders in every church that they, had started and established. So there was a process for that. And you see that with the apostolic ministry. You don't see local pastors going around doing that because they have to tend to their flock. But again, there's people with different gift mixes. So we don't limit God to how he uses a person. But, with these different titles that people use, there is a function that is supposed to be scripturally grounded to that title. And if there's no function, you can have a title, but it doesn't mean anything. You can be have the title of a police officer and have your uniform on and all the other stuff, but don't know how to use none of that stuff. Never got trained, don't know the laws, don't know nothing. Doesn't mean anything. You're all dressed up for nothing because you're ineffective. So it's the same thing with titles. So that's why, titles should just identify a function that a particular minister operates in versus it being this primary thing that we focus on and then we completely forget about the function. There's different type of ministers. So the first thing was that they had to be a servant. So these are different servants. The second thing is they have to be called by God. Okay. The third thing, which we saw Paul and Barnabas called and sent out, the third thing, they have to follow the Holy Spirit, which Paul and Barnabas followed the Holy Spirit, right? And then the fourth thing, they have to be willing to suffer loss for the sake of the mission. And we find that in Jesus's ministry. We find all three of these in Jesus's ministry that he was, identified. He was a servant. He was called by God. His baptism, the dove descended upon him and the Father identified him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And follow the Holy Spirit, which Jesus was led right into the wilderness to deal with the devil. And then he came out in power, like Paul and Barnabas. They were going out and going to do the work of expanding the kingdom. And then the fourth thing, you have to be willing to lose, okay, everything. You have to lose yourself. You have to be willing to lose your desire, your will, your passion, whatever it is you plan for your life. You have to be willing to lose that for God's purpose, because Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to take up your cross and follow me. It's not just you just walk behind me. No, you have to take up a form of suffering, a form of a lack of comfort, something that I will tell you to do is going to be uncomfortable to you. Jesus doesn't, and he didn't in his life and ministry on earth, he didn't leave people in their comfort zones. He always told them to do things that was uncomfortable. He always told them to do things that was unpleasant to themselves because it's something better that they could have found to do with their time. None of the disciples, I'm sure by design, just said, "Hey, yeah, I want to be crucified. I want to be beheaded. I want to be stoned. I want to be," it wasn't none of that. They wasn't so elated about, "This is what I want to do." But they knew it was part of the mission. It was something that they had to deal with. So even in ministry in our day, there's people, sometimes they'll turn against you. They may not agree with you. They may not like you. They may you may miss job opportunities because you won't do something immoral or just turn the other cheek, meaning not the turn the cheek from doing something bad. I mean, turning the cheek and do something bad, meaning you turn away from morality and do immorality just so that you could get some kind of success. So ministers are people who are servants of God, and they have different gift mixes, different passions, different callings. And they could be leaders in the church, or they could be people in the marketplace. They could be just wherever God has called people. It's not a one size fit all. And there's very grave diversity in where God will call people, but they have to be servants. They have to be called by God. They have to follow God in the mission that He's called them, in the sphere that He's called them, whether it's in the church world or whether it's in the marketplace world. And then they have to be willing to suffer loss. They have to be willing to lose themselves so that they could gain everything. So we'll go ahead and close this audio out, and we will continue this subject in the next audio.